I'm curious about the Tea Party movement and whether you think this is a conservative movement in the Republican-Democrat sense, or is this more of a fiscal movement?
No, this is a constitutionally limited small government movement, and our focus is mostly on the economic issues. And clearly the questions about the budget size, the budget deficit, the impact on future generations, even with respect to the question of possible future insolvency, of if not the entire federal government, certainly programs within the government, and just generally irresponsible intrusions against personal liberty.
Do you see it as, I mean, if I were in traditional political circles, would I see this as a threat if I was a Republican or if I was a Democrat or if I was either one?
Well, I have no doubt that both political parties, as formal political institutions, are threatened by this movement. The Democrats, because the movement is basically said, born out of a fear of the Democrats and a commitment to remove them from office, and the Republicans, because this movement is determined to reform the Republican Party, rehabilitate it, and make it a disciplined party of service to the foundation principles of the country. That translates to the average office holder as hard work, which is not something they have a great affinity for.
When is the last time, in your mind, when's the last time that the Republican Party was in harmony with what you see now as a Tea Party movement?
Oh, probably 1997, maybe 98, but I think the contract with America, Republican Revolution of 1994, was really seriously dissipated by 98, and certainly fell to pieces after the Bush election.
Mm-hmm. Was not to pin it on a particular person, but was the Bush, were the Bush years where the Republican Party went astray, and can you kind of tell me what you think happened?
Well, you know, there's no doubt about it. As soon as the Republican Party in office began to spend, you had the more or less goofy earmark strategy that, you know, resulted in this awfully ugly explosion of earmarks. That was a short-sighted political strategy contrived primarily by Tom DeLay. And then, of course, when President Bush came in, he had the education bill, he had Medicare Part D, he had TARP. It seemed to me like President Bush just went on an eight-year spending spree that just was, you know, totally frustrating to the conservatives, and finally got to the point where obviously we knew that, we all knew that the disappointment in the Bush administration was so great that a Democrat was going to be elected president. Barack Obama comes along promising change and hope, and then he doubles down on every big spending program that the Bush party folks initiated, and frankly, he's just scared the devil out of these folks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you look at, as I know you have, if you look at sort of the history of economic populism, and, you know, I noticed going to these rallies, and I've, you know, been to a lot of them, that at least in Texas, I see a lot of United We Stand Ross Perot t-shirts. It's like been mad for a long time. But I'm curious if this is, if this is the sort of thing that comes around when an economy is bad and dissipates when the cycle turns.
No, it comes around when people in office don't live up to the expectations that the constituency has of what's good service to the oath of their office. Ross Perot wouldn't have had a leg to stand on if George Herbert Walker Bush hadn't raised taxes in the fall of 90. And in fact, we know that George Herbert Walker Bush lost his re-election and caused a lot of other Republicans to lose elections because of that disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you see this manifesting itself in, I guess, particularly in Texas? I know there are races around the country where there are people who are actual Tea Party candidates. I guess more here we've seen people in the Republican Party in particular, but not complete. I mean, not some Democrats too, kind of appropriating ideas. I'm curious how you see this on the street.
Well, first of all, there is not, I have not yet seen, an actual Tea Party candidate. There are candidates like Marco Rubio in Florida, like Young Lee over in Utah, candidates that have earned the respect and the support of the Tea Party activists, and they are almost always the more constitutional limitation big government against big government candidates. They always are. So what's happening is that what you would call is the big spending wing of the Republican Party is basically being told the swing vote's going against you and you're losing your primaries. Now, we will see that as an impact on the Republican Party. And then we will see the more conservative Republican candidates beating the Democrats in the fall.
Mm-hmm. How do you see it in Texas? Do you see, you know, it looks like, you know, the governor is trying to appropriate or is in tune, however you want to read that, with some of this. Some of the candidates for Congress are trying to play to this audience.
Well, clearly they recognize a big big swing vote when they see it. For the most part, Republican congressmen in Texas are conservative. A lot of them just got stuck with George Bush when he came along with TARP, and TARP is the big lightning rod in this whole thing. An awful lot of Republicans that knew better voted for TARP because it was the program that was put forward by a Republican president from Texas. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, they're having to try to make up to these folks that are so bitterly angry over such an irresponsible vote as that. And so now what happens in Texas, for the most part, they've gotten through their primaries. I don't think anybody lost their primary, any incumbent.
I think that's right.
And I think they, by and large, got the message from these folks, we're not going to make a stupid vote like that again, because they've seen a lot of other people that didn't make it through their primary because of the TARP vote. And what we have to do is, we saw it in both the case of George W. Bush in 90, in the fall of 90, where he cost a lot of Republicans their job in the House and the Senate, and George W. Bush here, over this, where they cost a lot of incumbent members of their own party their House and Senate seat. In the future, I think a Republican president goes off on some cockamamie spending spree that has no foundation in sound governance is going to find that their party members in Congress are not going to be so willing to follow them off that cliff.
Is this thing powerful enough to create a new political party, or just to maybe change the direction of the parties that are here? You have in your book a section that I thought was kind of interesting about, what did you call it, unconstitutional campaign finance restrictions, keeping this a two-party country. I'm curious if you think this movement is influential in the parties, or if it becomes a party of its own.
No, I think everybody understands that Ross Perot was a spoiler. You know, Ralph Nader was a spoiler for the Democrats. What we need to do, and we also make the point in the book, we need a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. We need, I like to say, a rehabilitation of the Republican Party. But anybody that goes down a third-party route is probably walking down a pretty blind alley leading to nowhere.
Okay.
But we will have, and our goal is to have a conservative majority in Congress, not a Republican majority. A Republican majority that's not a conservative majority is nothing but an echo of the Democrat Party, and we're not interested in that.
Is there such a thing as a conservative Democrat? I mean, is any of this in consonance with, you know, could a Democrat stand with some of these Tea Party principles and still be a Democrat?
Well, the biggest problem you have with most people who call themselves conservative Democrats is they're what I call a counterfeit conservative looking for work. I think probably the last legitimate conservative Democrat we had in Texas was probably Ralph Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed party. You had some that were, I kind of thought, Coca-Cola cowboys like Charlie Stenholm, and he got away with that with a lot of people, but those of us that worked with him understood that Charlie wasn't, in fact, a conservative Democrat. What happened, I look at the great race in years ago, probably before you were born, between Ralph Yarborough and Lloyd Benson.
Right.
I think that was, in 68. That was probably the last time the conservative, the traditional yellow dog conservative Democrat, won a statewide primary in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Texas, the Texas Democrat Party has pretty well been expelling the conservative Democrats from its ranks.
Okay. I'm curious the extent to which you see the same problems at the state level, not necessarily just in Texas, but around the country. I mean, this is clearly aimed at federal spending, at federal programs, TARP, things like that seem to be kind of the poster children here, but do you see some of the same things happening in state government that you're disliking the federal government?
Our members from all over the country are saying, look, our state government's a financial mess. I mean, yesterday, just sitting around signing a few books, I have people from Michigan, California, Illinois, and they're just as distressed over the fiscal irresponsibility of their state governments as they are the national government. Mm-hmm. And they intend to do something about it at that level just as well.
Okay.
So they're affecting the elections of people at all levels of government. It's obviously more visible to all of us at the national level because of the nature of the year.
How do you figure, I mean, you still live in Texas and you're watching, I know you were with Hutchison in the primary. How do you figure Rick Perry's success? I mean, he's a 10-year incumbent. He would appear to be sort of a natural, if you were mad at government, he would seem to be a natural figurehead for that. I'm curious what you think about the Texas situation.
Well, Rick Perry's a good politician. And I think he always has his political ear to the ground, and he's always aware of what's going on. He picks up very quickly on things. He's had a few really, really bright moments. I think, for example, when we had the hurricane threatening Houston and the folks were out there on the roads scared and he brought the gas trucks out, I thought that was a really smart move, and it certainly caused a lot of people to appreciate him. So he's been fairly very skillful as a politician, and he's made for himself a good standing with the Texas voters.
Mm-hmm. He has said that he sort of really clicked in on this movement and Tea Party, sort of the sentiment and the intensity of it on the Tax Day 2009 speeches. You know, he was traveling the state, as I guess a bunch of politicians were. He said that's the day he really kind of spotted this. When did this become kind of apparent to you that this was more than just, you know, a momentary thing?
Well, I think it was, I think he's talking to April 15, 2009.
Right.
That was the day that I first really saw, hey, this is a big deal. This is, I happened to be in Atlanta that day, 15,000 people at a tax day rally on April 15. I've been to a lot of tax day rallies. I hadn't seen that before. And, of course, we were getting our reports because we were working with people all over the country. But I'm not surprised that that he saw it on that day and said, hey, this is real, it's authentic, it's big, and I better pay attention to it. He was a little bit quicker than most politicians in that he was alert to see that. A lot of them still, even on that day, just thought it was, you know, something that they could ignore and it would go away.
Mm-hmm. Are some of them still in that condition?
Well, the Democrats, of course, you know, we laugh at that Nancy Pelosi, who we call, we're calling her Cleopatra these days because she's the queen of denial. Well, I mean, again, the Democrat Party right now is so desperate they'll cling to anything that misconception even that'll give them comfort.
Okay. Where do you think this goes from here? How do you think this plays out?
Well, in this election cycle, we will end up with a conservative majority in Congress. We will have, if not a conservative Republican majority in the Senate, certainly a conservative Republican Party in the majority, and the Democrat majority in the Senate will be diminished to one or two votes at best. Barack Obama, President Obama, has already assured he will not be reelected. And he, you know, to his credit, he's done that on his own hoof. I mean, his malfeasance in office has been so striking to the American people. There's no way he'll be reelected. So if the Democrats want to hold the White House, they're going to have to defeat him in their own primary in 2012, and that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. So the fact of the matter is the Democrats swung the pendulum so hard and so far to the left that they scared the American people to the point where they're moving it back to the right. So there's going to be a very big resurgence of constitutionally limited small government conservatism, a sort of a return to our founding fathers' wisdom, and this, of course, is very distressing to people that think things like the Constitution is a living document and therefore means anything I want it to mean. So the voters aren't going to tolerate this kind of foolishness. So it's going to be quite interesting. It's going to be kind of like the rebirth of Calvin Coolidge.
You've said in your book and you've said elsewhere that this isn't a top-down thing and doesn't, you know, it's not a movement following a particular, you know, like a star, like a celebrity or a political leader or whatever. But people in politics are opportunistic, and do you see somebody, kind of some surfer out there looking at this wave and saying, I ought to be on top of that? Who do you think that might be in a national sense?
Well, there's a lot of them out there. We just watch and see. But one of these things, these folks now have what I think of as an extremely healthy and well-informed skepticism about politicians, and they realize that politicians say insincere things. So Barack Obama, when he ran for president, he won a talent contest. The voters looked at the whole contest through a very shallow set of lenses, and he got away with it. Anybody who expects to win the presidency in 2012 had better plan on winning it on a substantive ground of proven performance, not just lip service, good looks, and talented speech making.
Okay. Dick Armey, one of the people interested in doing that?
Oh no! I got 34 goats that depend upon me daily. I couldn't be away that long.
I really appreciate your time.
All right, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.